It's an important topic, and I've always been accused of attacking and getting so passionate about this topic, but it's something from the heart, because I see it every day. As an attorney, as we speak, I have undocumented immigrants sitting in detention, families that are torn apart, a mother with four children whose only crime is to want to be with her children. And so if you live it, if you see it, if you work it, if you touch it, it's a different feeling, a different importance. So tomatoes, cucumbers, oranges, bell peppers, strawberries, apples, grapes, peaches, pears, you know, food that we see on our table, planted and picked by undocumented labor. Slaves in the fields, literally. They are some of the poorest workers in the United States, facing low pay, food breaks, poor sanitation, exposure to pesticides, on and on and on. How about our waiters and busboys, cooks and construction workers, pool cleaners, maids, janitors? How about so many professionals, like doctors and lawyers, actors, Pulitzer Prize winners, professionals who interact with us every day are undocumented. The dreamers, the youngsters that are friends with our children, attend our schools, undocumented. Many of the young men and women who protect, defend, and die in the service of our nation are or were undocumented, or they have family that are undocumented. I want you to think back about Jose Gutierrez, a United States Marine who came to this nation without papers from Guatemala, undocumented, illegal, as some people would say. Well, he was one of the first servicemen to give his life for our country in the Iraq Army. The next time a friend or neighbor demeans an undocumented, remind them of the sacrifice they give for us, for our food, for our freedom, and they even give up their life. Don't forget that. Don't trivialize it. No one is illegal. No human being is illegal. Why is it that we call undocumented people illegal? What could possibly be the motivation to incite such rhetoric of hatred? No one is illegal. People are hiding their racism behind the arguments of legal and illegal. They turn away children and remove their own humanity because we are a nation of laws. You must have heard this. That's what we say. Have you heard the backwards covert term for racism, ignorance, or stupidity? It's the same language that we use in the same fear tactics to dehumanize people that we did for the Native Americans when we took their land and their liberty. The African Americans during slavery and Jim Crow. The Chinese during the 1800s. How about the Japanese in World War II who were United States citizens that were locked up? Documenting lock up the Germans. You ever want to do that? Like my dad? How about the Jews that were turned back from this nation right before World War II that went back in the hands of Nazis and were killed? Don't you wonder if the folks opposing these children today that oppose this ban on Muslims would have the same response to white refugee children from Europe? White privilege has been a part of our nation since its inception. Language has always been used to remove and control people of color. Much of white America has xenophobic preferences, and politicians are all too ready to exploit these tendencies for political gain. So I ask, what crime has a child committed? Why would you characterize a child as illegal? Say he has a family that brought him here across the border. How is he legal? Illegal. I show you this picture of this little child. What crime has this child committed? What crime has this little child committed? Don't we need intent to commit a crime in our nation? If I am at Walgreens and I see a pen, and I take the pen, and I have the pen, they can arrest me for the intent to steal. But let's say Kelly over here gives me this pen and I use it, I take it home, I'm not arrested for stealing because I didn't have the intent to deprive him of his pen. So I ask you, what intent does this child have to call him illegal? How can you dare call him illegal if you care about humanity? If you're a person of faith? Think about that. So let's say person, the child, let's say he's older, and he comes here across the border without permission. What crime has he committed? I'm going to tell you here something, that immigration is not a crime. Immigration is not a crime. If I'm undocumented or documented and I steal your purse and they arrest me, do I have a right to an attorney? Yes, because it is a crime. It's a fundamental constitutional right from the Sixth Amendment. But if they come and detain me and they accuse me of being undocumented, I have no right to an attorney because it is a civil offense. Erase this illegal jargon from your head, because it's racist, it's inhumane, it's what we've always done to step on people of color and minorities. It's wrong. It's just wrong. Even Justice Anthony Kennedy, writing in the majority SB 1070, Arizona's controversial immigration law said, as a general rule, it's not a crime for a movable alien to remain in the U.S. It is a crime if they deport me and I come back and I get caught. Now that's a federal crime. But, you know, even Marco Rubio said 70% of the people here in undocumented in the state of Florida fly by airplane come with a visa and overstay the visa. What crime is it? It's not a criminal offense. It's a civil offense. Change the laws if you want to. Make guarantee the right to counsel to these people if you want to call them criminals. And how come we don't call rapists illegal? Why do we call murderers illegal? Why do we call Latinos illegal? Why? Because of this type of hate speech, Hispanics in the U.S. are viewed as illegal or less. I am a trial attorney. I've done hundreds of trials. And every time I have an African-American or a Latino client, I ask the veneer, are anybody here a racist? I have never met a racist in my life in this area. Even Arcadia, are you kidding me? Until you get into it, nobody is. I mean, even Hispanics are racist, blacks are racist. They're racism and they're all human beings. Think about it. But this stereotypical stepping on people is moral and wrong. Now, how do we know this? Let's continue to talk about law. We have natural law, public law, divine law. Let's talk about natural law and public law. Public law is, legislature writes a law. Jews should be exterminated. And Nazis, hell yeah. Or, how about Jim Crow? Black man can't eat with me. They can't drink from this mountain. You can't use my bathroom. That's a public law. Is that good law? We're law nations. We're going to accept that? No. Natural law trumps public law. It's derived from human nature. All humans are governed by the same innate laws. All men are created equal. Not all white men, but reality is different. It is what our judiciary is about, as a checks and balance. We have the greatest nation in the world that has an incredible system to have checks and balances against this kind of racism and hatred. How about the wall? You hear this? The wall of Mexico? How come no wall of Canada? My ex-wife is British. Came here without papers, illegally. Nobody has a problem with that. My current lady is Mexican. Everybody has a problem with that. My dad, born in Shakopee, Minnesota, married to Latinas. He likes Latin women. What can I say? He is the non-racist man I've ever met. So one day, he loves Fox. He's 96 years old. God, I have to watch Fox every day. He says, God damn it, this is the United States of America. Speak English. I said, Dad, he's not a racist. I said, Dad, I know about you. You were born in Shakopee. You only spoke German when you were raised. When did German become English? You see what happens? We lose our perspective. I'm running out of time. I want to just say this. I guess I get that point that they're not illegal, but part of the immigration problem is because we create. I'm immigration. I'm a guy that studies international relations. NAFTA, CAFTA destroyed agriculture and communities and farming, and those people have come back to our country now, ironically, to work in our fields. We have a responsibility. I got less than a minute. We have a responsibility to understand why they're coming. And we have a responsibility to correct it, not just use them and abuse them like we did slaves. I have guys here in Sarasota that put a nail in their hand. They won't get workers' comp. They won't get the medical because they lied about their status. This is the kind of country we are. I didn't realize that Jesus Christ was a U.S. citizen until I moved here. I thought that people of faith and goodness are from all over the world. And I have so much more to go over, but I can't.
Okay, so my name is Christian Ziegler. I want to thank Tiger Bay for having us. I won't take up too much time in my intro because I do know in Tiger Bay you guys love asking questions. As we mentioned, my background, I worked in the Ford House. I worked on Capitol Hill handling immigration. Also worked on a bunch of campaigns, including most recently I was a surrogate for the Trump campaign throughout the cycle. So today what I'm here to talk about is what to expect, what to see going forward with Donald Trump's proposals, and where we're going to go. Now, obviously when Donald Trump ran, he ran on a very aggressive immigration stance, policy stance. And as CJ was mentioning, you know, when we look, we really have a fundamental disagreement. And you're going to see that today. CJ is obviously, you know, calling them undocumented. I don't know if that's necessarily the correct term. That's a term that the left uses to humanize this and really downplay what's going on. My belief is these are illegal aliens in our country. They're costing us a lot of money. They're costing us a lot of jobs. And they're putting us at risk. So when you look at Donald Trump, obviously he ran in 2016. His message was we need to enforce our laws. He opposed amnesty, opposed sanctuary cities, wanted to establish a merit-based immigration system, which a lot of people don't realize that it's actually set up more as a family base instead of a merit-based. He campaigned on deporting criminal illegals, and also obviously everyone's talking about the wall, right? That's probably the most high-profile thing when it comes to Trump. And since then, he's been executing on those promises. He signed an executive order that was focused on protecting our southern border, and he also signed an executive order on the internal protections that we need within throughout our whole country. Now, as we talk, what you're going to see is, I will tell you, my view on this is, again, we need to look after America. We need to look after Americans first. We need to look at our own country. I don't believe that we have a responsibility for illegal aliens when they come over to our country. I think we have a, you know, responsibility. I have a picture of my daughter. I can hold up that picture as well and say, why should she have to pay for criminal illegals, for illegal aliens that are in our country? And so it's easy to humanize. And when you start talking about criminals, you talk about Kate Steinle over in San Francisco, walking with her father, and she's 32 years old, San Francisco, an illegal that was deported 5 times and kept coming back, shoots off a gun, shoots her in the back, kills her in front of her father. You have, just on Tuesday, two women stabbed, a 2-year-old sexually abused by an illegal immigrant that was deported previously. You have, last week, last Thursday, in a high school in Maryland, you have, I think it was 18 years old, and a 17-year-old, push a 14-year-old American girl, American citizen, these are two illegals, into a bathroom. They take turns raping her. This is happening in our country. And, you know, it's easy to tie up and try to mix immigration and illegal immigration. I'll tell you, I am not one of those that's anti-immigration. What many people don't realize is my mother was born in Germany in an army base there. My father was born in Serbia. He's a Serbian. My two brothers are Serbian. They live in Serbia. Today, actually, it is 18 years ago today, NATO, led by the U.S., dropped cruise missiles throughout Serbia. I was on the phone with my dad that night with cruise missiles were hitting about a mile and a half from his house. Okay, so I'm not against immigration. I'm not against immigrants. This isn't a racist, you know, view on my part. I don't appreciate when other individuals claim that, you know, just because your position is something on an issue that it's a racist position. I don't think that's very justified or appropriate, but I will tell you, I'd love for my brothers to come here. I would love for our immigration system to be merit-based. They are both, my brother is in school to be a neurologist. My older brother is currently a dentist employing about 10 people over in, now lives in Slovenia. And those are the kind of immigrants we should welcome to our country. Those individuals that bring benefits, that create jobs, that pay for themselves, that are not criminals. And that's what we need to be focused on when we start talking about immigration. Not just, you know, quote unquote, undocumented, that we're not humanitarian, we're keeping them here. I think it's important to keep that in mind as we take questions, as we discuss this issue. But I look forward to taking your questions and answering more specific policy stuff as they come up. So thank you so much.
You're not a racist, you're just ignorant. No, I'm not going to be polite. I'm not going to be polite. If your policies work, you're going to be responsible for the deaths of three people. Right? So don't forget that. I agree.
I will tell you, just to counter that, I am going to be civil in this discussion. I am a Republican. I am a Republican. I give a lot of friendly campaign advice to my Democrat friends. Believe it or not, I have a lot of Democrat friends. And one of the problems that the left has is they are getting very personal, very nasty, and that's why they will continue to lose in the ballot box. So this will be an interesting discussion. I hope we can keep it simple.
I'm not the left.
And you can ask it a vote or one.
Harvey Landers. It's my understanding that the agricultural sector in the U.S. has expressed concerns that they would have labor shortages if undocumented illegals were not present. What's your perspective on this, and what is your solution, considering that many, many, many Americans don't want to do that kind of very difficult work?
Let me just ask you real quick. Let him keep the mic for a second. Why do you think Americans don't want to do that work?
It's been my understanding in reading over the untruthful internet that there are places now in the U.S. that are expressing concern over not having sufficient agricultural labor. Americans don't want to do that work, and when they've done it, they have stopped.
Why not? Why don't they want to do it?
I don't think it's a question for me. I'm asking the question of you.
I know. I'm just trying to understand. So, I think that the degree... I agree, actually. Americans don't want to do that work. Now, the question is why? What I was hoping to get out of you, because I think this is what a lot of people say, is that wages are too low for those jobs. Right? Wages are too low. I don't want to do that work. I don't want to be out, taking oranges off trees, working ag. I don't want to do that because wages are too low. Now, what we have is a system here, and wages are too low for those jobs. And those wages need to go higher. What doesn't make them higher is by allowing illegals. Oh, I forgot. I only got a minute. Avoid that bell. People put the fear of God in me. But when you hire illegal aliens, to do those jobs, the ag industry knows that they can pay them less. When they pay them less, it lowers that wage across the entire industry. So what we need to do is if we stop hiring illegal aliens and we start hiring Americans, they're going to have to bump those wages up and people will want to do those jobs.
I have a little experience with this. When SB 1070 was brought forward by Senator Bennett, I debated him. We also did a meeting with Heracopoulos and Gores in Wayne City, and educated the states, the President of the Senate, that if you get rid of undocumented labor, you'll destroy the Ford agriculture business. It requires not only labor, but skill. Okay? So what we need is comprehensive immigration reform. Most of the people that are here just want to work. They want to eat because NAFTA and CAFTA, that destroyed their agriculture abilities in Mexico. Matter of fact, farmers in the United States are very concerned about Trump putting this tariff, because they're not going to be able to sell the corn in Mexico. So what's happening is that we need comprehensive immigration reform to allow workers to come and then go home. They're not here for the American dream. They're trying to feed themselves. So yes, it would destroy agriculture. There's a pamphlet on your table I dropped off that talks about myths. There's a little piece on that, what happened in Georgia. So please take a look at that.
Pat Gerard, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me, and lift my lamp beside the golden door. What does that mean to each of you?
What makes it beautiful is the diversity of people. Imagine all one, like you go to Japan, It's all one. For Korea, it's all one. Here, we're everything. We're everybody. But we must learn to respect and love and allow more in. What people don't understand, and this goes back to the first question, 1960, 50% of Americans did labor. Today, only 10%. Baby boomers are retiring. I'm at the end of that. We're starting to retire. Who's going to come in behind us to prop up, you know, Social Security and everything else and do the work and do the labor? We need immigration. Every country that succeeds is about immigration. So we need comprehensive immigration reform, not keeping people out, but making the system work. And shame on Congress for not doing their job. We're not saying let everybody, and let's say fix the problem.
You can't. You cannot. You cannot go after comprehensive immigration reform until you have a border that is totally secure and people aren't coming over. And that's a fact. Look, if you went home right now after this lunch and you open up the door and there's a huge puddle of water because your pipe burst, right? What do? Do you go grab a mop and start mopping, or do you shut off the pipe? And that's what you have to do first, is you have to shut off the pipe, you have to close the border, you have to protect the border, and then at that point you can start having discussions, because this is going to be a difficult debate. You have DACA, you have illegal aliens that have been here for 20, 30 years, obviously young children, you have people that have created jobs, that are immigrants, that are looking for visas, but this needs to be addressed step by step. If Congress can't even get the border right, how are they going to get a total immigration system revamped that's going to affect tens of millions of people? And that's what we need to look at, and that's what we need to focus at first. That's important.
How do you think, I'm Helen Riley, I want to know how each of you think that a law is going to impact immigration when you have so many other needs to be seen.
I think a wall is very effective. And when I work on Capitol Hill and I handle immigration for Congressman Bernie Kennedy's congressman down in Sarasota, Manatee County, I actually went toward the border for two days, two nights. And it was fascinating. You know, you're there with the Border Patrol, you really see what they're up against. And there are sad stories. There are humane, really, issues going on that need to be taken a look at. People are trying to squeeze in, semi-trucks as they're coming in. It is dangerous, right? But when you look at the border, I will tell you, we turned off the lights in the car. We wore night vision. We drove around at about midnight. We apprehended at least probably a dozen illegal aliens crossing the border. And that was areas where there wasn't a wall. It's right in the El Paso sector. There's portions that have a wall, don't have a wall. The portions that have a wall, they have less Border Patrol agents because they don't need as many.
Answer the question, please.
You're asking about the wall.
I'm asking how the wall is going to solve the problem.
How the wall is going to solve the problem?
And how it can be a priority.
It's going to stop the flow. Can I finish?
I'm against. Well, listen, we want secure borders, even if you're pro-immigration reform. Who doesn't want secure borders? But I want to remind everybody, the only terrorists that came to this country through the border came through Canada. But we don't have a wall there. The Irish Prime Minister was here 2 weeks ago, if you remember, talking about undocumented immigration. They come through Canada. Canadians come through Canada. British come through Canada without papers. But they just happen to be white and speak English. Not that that doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay? And Serbians that came here, probably through asylum, are probably white. You have to look at the discrepancies between brown and blacks. For example, Haitians, the discrimination against Cubans, the immigration status is horrendous. So the wall is important, not the wall, but taking care of our borders. But no, but what really fuels it, so that you know, is private possessions and prisons. I hope somebody asked a question.
Illegal aliens, like there's some sort of freaks from outer space are horrible. And you cite these criminal instances that do not, that horrify people, of course. But the fact is, why do you demonize these people when their criminal rates of instance are actually less than most other citizens?
So, criminal or illegal alien is actually a term used by the courts. So this is an undocumented, you know, immigrant. That is not a term used by the courts. Okay, that is a term from the left that they use in their PR to water down this issue. Illegal alien is a term that is used by the courts. It was used in Arizona versus the USA just a couple years ago. So that's why I use that phrase. When I talk about criminal illegals, it's because it's a major, major issue. And every crime committed by a criminal illegal alien is a crime that we don't need. Yes, we have our own criminals. We absolutely have murderers, rapists. It happens in our country, right? What we can stop are people coming in this country illegally, and we can stop those crimes because we don't need those crimes. We've got enough of our own. So that's why I mentioned that.
I love the term because it brings $5 billion plus industry to the privatization of prisons. Why is drugs illegal in this country? And I would say just we want to keep attorneys like me in business and make money for privatization of prisons. But now we don't have just people who smoke pot. We have 11 million documents. You detain them on one day, it's $200 from the federal government, or for a week, a month, billions of dollars. Not just the private prisons, but the counties. If you have a county sheriff that houses a federal people, I mean, a detention center, they're making big money. This is a big hotel industry. And if you follow the money, who pays the politicians and the right, and Jay and Drew and those guys who started with Arizona, it comes from ALEC, the GEO Corporation, Corporation of America, CCA rather, and you will find the money that if you label people undocumented illegal and treat them as subhuman, you have a right to lock them up and make billions.
Peter Goldenbach. This is something I wanted to ask Mr. Trump. Now I can ask you. This is something I wanted to ask Mr. Trump, but now I can ask him. Did your racism and hatred come from your friends, your family, or your church?
Is this your club? We're talking about this. You know, I don't even think I need to respond to that. I am not a racist. I'm someone that loves my country. I'm someone that has two daughters that are, one is 3 and a half, one is 1 year old. And this isn't just illegal immigration. I know we're talking about that, and we're talking about, you know, illegal aliens in this country right now. There are other government programs where we're picking up the tab that our country cannot afford, that we are taking, whether it's healthcare, whether it's all these other programs that we're talking about, and we're taking that tab and we're passing it on to the next generation. So this isn't a racist thing. I know the speaker up here wants to claim, he keeps talking about white and all that. I will tell you, I'll challenge you at the end of this talk, who talked more about skin color, myself or this individual here, or racism like yourself. This is not a racist issue. I'm kind of offended that you would even reference that. That is disappointing.
It is clearly racism, and it's about white privilege, about male white privilege. And we, all black, white, brown, are and can be racist. It's a part of our tribalism, you know? Function on part. How can you be a German, a Nazi German, down the road in Dachau or Auschwitz or wherever it may be? And you know these atrocities are happening to do nothing about it because you can dehumanize someone. This is not akin to white people, make that very clear. It's something as human beings we have to psychologically overcome. And we need to learn to understand that we can hate others because they're gay, or because of their color, or because of their language. And if you're educated and aware of this, then you will understand that it's not an attack on one group, but it is about dehumanizing people, about greed, about profit. And after all, it was the brown people that were here before all us white people.
Yeah, talk to
Tiffany Vigas. I don't think it's a question of race, I think it's a question of money. That's one of the primary reasons people give immigration reform is because it's costing Americans money. So we can't afford certain programs because of the money it's costing us illegal immigration. So my question is, what's the cost going to be of implementing these reforms, of cutting off the flow and putting the wall up and all the additional resources we'll need to enforce these policies versus the money we're supposedly losing due to this increased immigration?
Yep. We're a nation of laws. We need to protect our border, whatever that costs, right? Now, when we start talking about the wall, people start throwing out numbers like $20 billion, and now all of a sudden people have concerns with costs, right? I was talking to someone about this the other day. If Trump's legacy is that he got the Democratic Party and the left to finally care about what something costs, that'll probably be his greatest legacy, being president. But obviously they're taking every angle to shoot this down. I will tell you, $20 billion, a lot of money, right? In Washington, they spend $10 billion, $5 billion, $15 billion. There are days where they take those votes, and you have no idea. You're sitting here at Tiger Bay, they're passing these votes, they're just racking up the costs. So when you throw out the number like $20 billion to secure our border, I actually think it's a cost that we need to spend. I think it's worth it. And we need to look at other areas to maybe cut to get that money. But it is something that's going to save us a lot of money going down in the future. How does it save us money? With all the programs that we spent, whether it's education, medical expenses, housing them in the jail that we talked about, that's where it's going to save us money down the road. So it's an investment.
Let me tell you, immigrants contribute to this great country. You know, I'm a job in Tropicana, you're undocumented, and I know this for a fact, from over half. You come up with a fake social security, you go down there, and they give you a job. And guess what happens? You get a paycheck. You're Maria Perez, one Cadillo, it doesn't matter. And guess what the employer does? They take out your payroll taxes, they take out social security, they take out federal income tax. They take all these taxes. Does that worker get any of that? No. Not one. And guess what? In the state of Florida, where most of our income comes from revenue comes from sales tax, guess what you do when you're undocumented? You buy things. Heck yeah. They contribute a lot to our taxes. Well, how about if you're undocumented and you want to rent a place? You got to live somewhere. Are you paying a landlord, some slumlord? And I can show you in Manatee County because I've dealt with that issue in some county commissions. And some slumlords, and I can show you whether they're paying for the property taxes. So they pay taxes, and they get very little tax. A lot of undocumented people were veterans, or have family members were veterans. So don't forget that. I agree with you with that. But don't forget the undocumented. Look, we're supposed to be kinder and gentler and more human about families, the Christian values, etc., whatever that means. We're supposed to be genuine, and we're losing our soul. We've lost our soul in the past over certain issues. We can't be that way. We need to fix the problem. We need to secure the border. We need comprehensive immigration reform. And it doesn't, you know, and this is really about money. I like what Tiffany said. It's about greed. It's what fuels this more so. But they use the racism and xenophobia and all these things to get to the dollar. Follow the money.
My name is Jim Gillespie. Gentlemen, this is the worst exchange I've ever heard. You made generalizations about racism, white privilege. Those are propaganda words, both of them. What you should have done is had an educated debate. Both positions can be respected. Now give us some ideas, such as the Canadian immigration system, where one of the top requirements is you have skill. I haven't heard anything but almost propaganda.
Well, no, and I agree with you. It's tough when you're getting questions about does your racism come from your church or your family, and that's really where the question has been centered. I will tell you, that's why I mentioned the merit base, because you're exactly right. And when you look at legal immigration, that is our opportunity as a country to build our country in a positive direction, right? We have a choice. That allows us to be selective. Right now, we cannot be selective with our citizens when someone gives birth, like my wife gives birth. That individual is an American citizen, right? We inherit that individual after they're born. With our immigration system, if we turn it into a merit-based system, we look for individuals that have skill, that have education, that maybe have net worth, that can come in here and we can import that skill and we can import those positive benefits to our country. So I actually agree with you when you start with what you're referencing there as a merit-based. I did mention that a little bit earlier, but unfortunately the questions aren't necessarily on those issues. But that's where we need to go, because that's our one chance as a country to select where citizens are and how our country is going to be built. So I'm a big fan of immigration. I think you can even talk about increasing immigration if you were to shut down the border, but that's a good opportunity there.
I don't even apologize to you, because I see it every day, and I'm tired of it. Try to pick a jury with white people, white older men, and have a Latino and see what you get. See, you want discrimination raised, but come into the courts and see. Let me take you to the jails. Let me take you to the fields. Somebody asked me in the chamber, what a great country, what a place. I said, yeah. Because you go to my house, go to your house, we come here, we go there, it's wonderful. But let me show you fifth world conditions. Let me show you the other side, how they are. So I don't apologize for that. I'm speaking the truth. If you want to sugarcoat it, ask him to come and speak. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's the truth, and I work with it every day. And when you see those children crying, and when that lady from El Salvador gets deported because of policies like that, and they get killed by Mar 13 or the gangs, based on policies that the United States implemented with not only NAFTA and CAFTA, which we haven't talked about, but we did in Central America in the 80s, that's why they're coming, and then we blame them. I don't apologize for nothing. I wouldn't apologize for Nazi Germany either.
Thank you. My question is, Herb Haig, here in St. Petersburg. Mr. Trump, President Trump, has told us that he was not telling us the facts about the immigration status of the President of the United States for years. That was a lie. Mr. Trump's wife was working here on a visa when she shouldn't have been. That was illegal. That was a lie. Why do you trust him?
Why do I trust him? Because if you just look at the past 2 months, he's been executing everything he said he was going to execute. Excuse me?
No.
If you look at it, since he's been in office, he's one of the few guys that actually, if you've ever worked in politics, what happens is during the campaign, you say you're going to do something, once you get in office, you move to the middle, you don't do it, you backtrack, you have all excuses. But what he's done is in the past 2 months, he's executed point by point by point everything he said he would do. So if I just look at his record being in office, that's what I trust him to do. Now, am I crazy about some of the stuff he tweets out? You know, can I talk about his past? No, I wasn't involved in that, right? somebody tweets out, I can't control. But I will say that he was doing all that, his past was exposed, and the American people came together and he was elected President of the United States. So now that he's in office and he's executing everything he said he's done, from my point of view, he's carrying out his promises, and that's why I chose
him. I miss Ronald Reagan. I miss George Bush. I miss Jeb Bush. I miss the old-time Republicans. I can't believe I'm saying that publicly, but it's honest to God truth. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's not a liberal or conservative thing, because I'm a fiscal conservative. And I was, because I'm a D, I'm a communist. You hear that all the time, believe me. It's ridiculous. I like making money. Okay? So it's about rational thinking and xenophobic actions and disrespect of women. If the Republican Party has any sense, they would reject this man, not the party, and seek real leadership. For God's sake, Jeb Bush, where are you? Immigration reform was part of Jeb and George and Ronald Reagan and so forth. And my last point, when they say, well, he passed asylum for people came back, that's because NAFTA happened after that.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Let's give it another round of applause, guys. Thank you for being here. The winner of today's Kyber is Tiffany Fagus. Tiffany, do you want to come to the podium? And with that, this meeting is adjourned.